Thank you very much. Hello. Good afternoon. Hope you're all well, not cooking up too much in this room. My name is Manuel, so I'm a radio amateur, a radio nerd if you prefer. I like experimenting with new or older equipment, see what we can do with it, or use existing software or hardware, and deploy it as widespread as possible, if possible, within the amateur radio community, and keeping things open source whenever I can as well. So today I'm about to talk about cutting-edge technology straight from the 1990s, pagers. So if you've seen those things, well, it might bring you back some memories because they were heavily used in the 80s and the 90s. It was used by mostly doctors, drug dealers, or businessmen, sometimes the three at the same time. So basically they were everywhere in the 90s and started to disappear later on when GSMs made their operation. But this was something really common in those times. You can still see it in TV shows, medical TV shows getting paged, doctors getting paged because there's a code blue, whatever that means, in room 204. Now, I'd like to explore this thing because behind this hallmark from before, they're extremely simple communication systems, and I think it's worth exploring them a bit more and see what you can do with it today in the open source community and the amateur radio community. So today we'll be looking at what is paging in itself, what does that mean, how does it work generally speaking. We'll go a bit into the technical part of it, so how it works, the modulation types, how you can make a pager ring. And then, well, we'll bring that into the amateur radio context. We'll talk about the DAPNet project, which has been around for a few years now, what you can do with it, how you can get started, and then I'll be open for questions if you have them. So, coming back into the techniques, let's talk about paging in simpler terms. Paging is basically sending a message, making a small device ring one way or another, very often to small, low power and compact receivers. Most of them use a standard which is called POCSAG, which was developed in the 1980s, but much older standards exist and are almost not used anymore. So POCSAG is one of them that remains, the other one being developed by Motorola and proprietary, but we don't talk about that here. The topology is always the same. You've got one big transmitter, high power, and then you've got your receivers around that receive the messages whenever there's one. So the frequencies, you have them starting in HF, I should have put that. So you've got pagers on 27 megahertz and then all the way up. Here in Belgium, the national services use 160 megs. In other countries, you will see them in 460 megs and sometimes even higher. In the US, they're all up to 900 megs, if I'm not mistaken. So you see them on a lot of different frequencies. And you also see that compared to a classic two-way radio, the antenna is built into the device, which is itself a challenge because it means that your signal needs to be higher in intensity to be received by those antennas because they perform a bit less than the standard WIP antenna. Use cases in the commercial world, you'll find them, for instance, for one single hospital to be able to call doctors. Or industrial scale systems, or sometimes a bit bigger, national scale being one of them. Here in Belgium, we have one single frequency for a distributed system of transmitters operated by Astrid, which is used by firefighters, ambulance services, and others. So it's still being used today. You'll see them also in food trucks or in other takeaway food courts, such as if you've been to the Wolf 2 days ago. You receive a little pager that would have rung, whenever your food was ready. So this is also a pager in itself. How does that work? As I said, it's using one single frequency, a specific carrier that we modulate in FSK, so simple frequency shift keying. You send a zero by shifting one way, the other way is a zero. So just by shifting one from one to another, you send ones and zeros, and then format it into very simple packets. So very often, please mute your radio, just saw it. If you want to send a packet, usually you send a preamble that wakes the receiver up, because those receivers usually sleep for long periods of time and wake up from time to time to see if there's not a preamble for them there. And once it wakes up, it will start decoding the signal, and then it sends an address and the linked message. And if the address doesn't match the pager's address, it will just shut down, go back in sleep mode. So that makes for very power efficient receivers. So this thing can last up to 1 month on one single AA battery. That's pretty much the idea. Again, if you want your pager to receive a message, you put the address into it, basically. So if you want, for instance, to program this message, which is aimed at the pager with the address 101, you put the address 101 in the pager. If it receives it, it displays the message and rings. Otherwise, it will just stay asleep, because this is, for instance, a message for 102, not aimed at the pager itself, it stops ringing. Now, you can also make group alerts that way. So it's quite simple. You just put the same address. We call them RIC. You put the same RIC across all pagers, and if they receive it, they will just ring all together at the same time, displaying the message. So that means that for individual or group calls, you basically address one individual ID to a single pager, and then you put one common group ID across all pagers, so you can select if you want to address one person or specific groups, and you can organize your system this way. So it makes for a very simple type of receiver, and then you can see yourself when you're building the network how you're addressing each pager or each group of pagers. Poxagon amateur radio is not new. It's been done since the 1980s, a bit. I think it appeared at the same time as paging itself, so we started fiddling with that a long time ago. We used the TNCs connected to old VHF systems, and just the thing is you had to modify the pagers themselves very often by changing quartz and retuning the receiver loops to make sure that it fell between the amateur radio frequency allocations. But very often those were individual stations used for bulletin board systems at the time, for weather alerts or that kind of messages. So it kind of disappeared when packet radio really folded after the 90s. So right now the only thing we know on packet radio is mostly APRS, or the more widespread use is APRS. So BBS, you don't see them anymore. And the technology got lost in the ages. Now we have easier ways to interconnect stations together using HAMnet, for instance. So you now have IP links that can be made on amateur radio frequencies quite easily with modified Wi-Fi equipment or others. And there's a team from the Aachen University of German radio amateurs that developed a network of interconnected POXAG transmitters using free and open source software, and that is the DAPNet project. So DAPNet stands for Decentralized Amateur Paging Network. The idea is to have various core servers that are geographically separated, interconnected via HAMnet, that exchange the messages through multiple nodes. So if you have one that fails, the others will take over. Now, of course, if you're outside of that HAMnet link, you can always get a bridge through internet, and this is what I'm doing here because I don't have an HAMnet link here. We still haven't brought the HAMnet links from Germany up here till unto Brussels, but you can go either way. The frequency is almost universal, depending on your regulations. We try to stay on the same frequency everywhere, which is 439.9875 megahertz. That's a mouthful. But that's the one we try to use everywhere. The only exception right now I see is the Netherlands, because they don't have the access to this frequency, so they're using a frequency on 432, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean, with this pager, I can use it basically in Belgium, in Germany, in Switzerland. There are some transmitters in France as well, so it's growing little by little. Now, for addressing transmitters, they have to be synchronized one way or another. Otherwise, you have several transmitters that start keying up at the same time, and they would interfere with one another. So they split up in time slots. So if you have two overlapping transmitters, you'll put one that transmits on one time slot and the other one that will transmit on another time slot. Just make sure they don't transmit at the same time. So what happens is you send a message on the DAPNet infrastructure. And as I said, this only records basic numbers. So there's no callsign you can encode in there. So there's a database on the DAPNet infrastructure that links your callsign to an identifier. Very often we put the DMR ID, because this is a way to identify hams with numbers. And then it matches to this specific RIC, this specific address, sends it to the transmitters that are linked to the area we selected. So you can key up all transmitters or regionalize your calls. So you could say that if you know that the person that you're trying to reach is in Belgium, you put Oscar November dash all. If you want to reach an area in a specific province, well, you can narrow it down and try not to use the network as extensively and just try to reduce the load if you know where your person is. Same for Germany, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, France. There's this same kind of geographical way of cutting the transmitters. You can also make group calls. So there are we call them rubrics, and you have some for weather alerts, DX clusters, etc., etc. I'll come back to this in a moment. So what can we do with that? Well, pretty much whatever you want. You can send messages manually to a specific pager via the hampager.de website. There's an Android app. I think there's even an iOS app, but I don't know what's the status on that. Via the DMR infrastructure from Brandmeister, from APRS, from Tetra. So basically sending a text message from your radio will make it land on the DAPNet infrastructure, and then it will relay it to your person you want to call. Then there's an API you can use to send weather alerts. There are automated messages for urgent alerts, which will make all the pages ring, for example. DX clusters, as I said, or set status on space solar flux conditions, etc. That is something that also is also sent every 4 hours on the platform. You could also build something for a repeater telemetry or any IoT device that you want. But again, keep in mind, this is a network aimed at amateurs, for amateurs, non-commercial. And please keep in mind that is maintained by volunteers that do it on the free time with servers they have access to. So don't start bombarding the network with telemetry that sends every second to the status of your fridge, because that would be kind of a problem. So stay reasonable, but this is the kind of thing you can do as long as it's non-commercial. Now, how can you get started? As long as you're a radio amateur with a call sign, you can register right now. There's a website, you submit a ticket, and we'll create your account. So once you do that, you have access to the platform. You can send messages. If you want to receive them, you'll have to buy, modify, or build your own pager for the 439 megahertz frequency. That's one thing. But then you need a transmitter somewhere. If you're lucky enough to have one within your living area, you're good to go. Enjoy. Otherwise, well, you can go your own way and install a hotspot at home. Or you can make it a nice project for your local radio club and build a wide range transmitter for everyone to enjoy. So there are two ways you can go. Speaking of specifics, acquiring a usable pager is relatively easy today. So as I said before that, you had to buy secondhand pagers, replace a quart, retune the receiver chain. But today we have more frequency agile receivers that have PLLs instead of quarts that can be directly retuned or directly bought to work on those frequencies. So one of them is the AlphaPoc 602R, which I thought I had. Yeah, I have it on loan, but here it is. So this one costs about, I think it was 90 euros when we checked on the AlphaPoc website directly from Germany. You can buy it on AliExpress, but your mileage may vary. So that's a way to get quickly into it. You could go higher range and buy those commercial ones, which are a bit more expensive but work as well. Or you can go the DIY and free open source route and build your own using open source software, like a project I've been working on, which is the ESP32 pager, which Bastien also improved a bit on the UI side, because that suck at UI. But basically, using a ESP32 LoRa dev board, you can make it a POCSAC pager and have a receiver for quite cheap. I think those dev boards are about 15 euros on AliExpress as well right now. So it's built on Radiolib, so also freely modifiable. So have a look if you're interested. As for transmitters, you have two options right now. For hotspots, you can use, if you already have an MMDVM hotspot, well, you're all set. You just need to register it on DAPnet and activate the transmitter. So that's one way. If you want to build a wide range transmitter, things can be extremely simple because you just need a small single board computer, such as a Raspberry Pi, an FM transceiver. You fit it directly into the audio unfiltered path of your transmitter. And then, you're good to go. So basically, it requires four components. The transmitter, the Pi, a transistor, and one capacitor. So you can get on the air quite quickly. Other transmitters are being worked on. Again, Bastien is working on a ESP32 transmitter to make a small hotspot even cheaper if possible. So again, quite easily reachable. So where does that leave us? For me, it's quite an elegant solution to receive text messages on our own independent networks, having fun in the way, learning how to use basic systems, implement them, and deploy networks that everyone can enjoy. And it has its uses for telemetry or others. You can do weather reports, emergency messages, text your friends via pager, send silly jokes, and the challenge of having it to fit within 80 characters. So there are ways to make snappy jokes. And intelligence went at that. But I think that thanks to the DAPnet network, the arrival of audio cards that can act as TNCs instead of using an external module, it really made the thing much more accessible. So if I'm able to SSH into my hotspots, I can make you a quick demo of how that works. So give me a quick second. Who's got a pager here? One? Nice. 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 Very nice. That's already one. Depending on what you registered in it, I don't know if I'll be able to make it ring, but... So basically here you have my personal pager. This is one from a friend I just borrowed, and this one which just died on me, which is not a problem in itself. I'll just make this presentation shorter. Oh, no, it's alive. There you go. So those all have their all individual addresses. So this one is 206.9.0.0.9, 206.5, sorry. This one I don't remember. This one is address 100. So I can make this one ring specifically. I just key the transceiver up, say I want to make the pager number 100 ring. Please work. Don't make me look silly. There you go. So right now you have only this one ringing. So I just made an individual call to this one. Now, let's imagine I want to send a group alert for, I don't know, some weather storm, weather coming up, or a rare DX spot happening right now on 18 megahertz, sorry. So then I can make everything ring at the same time, 1040, and then everything rings, and it's just a nightmare. And I need to confirm that, otherwise it will ring again. So there you go. Quite simply, using basic addressing, basic open source software. This is just the hotspots, just an MMDVM here running in the background, and I can directly key the transmitter up. If you have access to the DAPnet system right now, I think at least two or three of you have access. You can make an individual call to myself. There you go. He just sent me a message on my pager. And what did he just say? How does an SQL expert get a date? Okay, nice. Very nice. Nice. So there you have it. If you have Any questions? Oh, yeah, there's another open source project that is just coming up. Where is Alexandre? Hello, didn't see you yet. If I'm not mistaken, you worked on a POXAC decoder, which is getting finished up as we speak for SDR++. So yeah, I think it's important to report that as well. Sorry, I didn't get the time to fit it into the slides. But again, if you have any questions, I'm just, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention, and yeah, I'm all ears. Cheers. All right, I hear a question. Do we have a microphone or? I'll repeat the question.
So I live quite close to an old school beta site.
And, yep.
They transmit a very high power on VHF.
They do.
To the point where it causes interference with a lot of other stuff.
Woo, okay.
So, you know, in practice, how much power do the transmitters in this network need to be useful? And what happens when pager misses a message, is there a retransmit, or do you only get one shot?
Well, very often in professional network, I'll repeat the question first. So you have problems, there's an interfering pager transmitter next to you because it's using high power, so how much power we're using, and second question, sorry, short-term memory is...
What happens when the pager misses a message?
What happens when you miss a message? So. The first one being, yeah, for commercial systems, very often they use 200, 300 watts for transmitters because it needs to reach inside of parkings and the antennas are lousy at best. So you need high power to get through. For amateur radio systems, it's less of a... God. Now everyone is trolling me. For amateur radio systems, very often we don't go to that imperative of being able to reach everyone through parking lots. So very often the transmitters are 25 watts to 50 watts. I mean, higher up would cause problems such as what you're talking about. But yeah, usually we keep it low and we just add more transmitters. Here in Belgium is a problem because every time you add a transmitter, you need to pay for an extra license. We're still limited a bit legally speaking, but it's not a problem in Germany or other countries where they don't pay repeater licenses or they're much cheaper. Speaking about missed messages, there are two mitigation measures. Just one is repeating the message. If it's lost, it's lost. If you don't get it, that's it. Because there is no way to send an ACK. Either you receive it or you don't, and that links to the first problem. That's why the commercial systems use high power. So there is no store and forward system in paging. So yeah, that's a small limit. Other questions? Yes.
What if you're not? Do not have a call sign?
You don't need a call sign to receive signals, specifically on radio amateur bands. So you could perfectly use an SDR or, I don't know, buy a pager and put some public messages. But to be able to receive individual to you or to be able to transmit or, you know, at least access the platform, you would need an amateur radio call sign. But, I mean, radio amateur is much more than paging, and I think it's worth looking into it if you don't have a license yet. I'm not going to start into my big talk about that because I've done it for about 25 times today. But there's a lot to discover in that hobby and might be worth looking into it if you have the time to access that hobby. Other questions? Yes?
Does it support ringtones?
Yes, it does. It does. You can change that ringtone. You make it go beep, bloop, whatever. You can even compose your own ringtones on some of them. ESP32 pager actually has a provision for you. There are different tones, and you just compose the music you want. So if you wanted to play Tetris, go ahead. There was one question here, and then you. No question here. Okay.
What's the frequency range of the receiver?
The receiver itself could be tuned pretty much anywhere on the UHF band, so 430, 440, but the problem is it's using an antenna loop, so a loop antenna, so it has a very high Q, so you need to tune it.
But it's 70 centimeters.
Yeah, it's 70 centimeters. Yep.
Is there a giant address book of people and the ring codes?
Yep, there is one. I would need... You have internet... You're connected to the... Potsdam network here? Yeah, if you look into hampager.de, you should be able to at least get the address book.
Someone please page Manuel that his time is running out.
So yeah, my time is up. Thank you.